Let's stand and sing this evening. It's 141 in your hymn book.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that nothing but the blood. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. I want to pray for a lady by the name of Ann that Sister Cheryl cares for. She is in the hospital. And also Brother Furman asked that we pray for Ethan. He's having injections on Wednesday that will require anesthesia. So we want to remember him in prayer. And also little Titus Hoover has bronchitis, so we want to remember him in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests that you'd like to bring to the Lord with the uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer with these requests?
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege once again, Lord, to gather around your word, Lord. Father, we've sung the songs of Zion before you, Lord. And Lord, as we entered the gates here, Lord, we're thankful that we have a place, Lord, that we've dedicated to you and your service, Lord. But not only that, Lord, each individual here, Lord, has dedicated their hearts to you, Lord, to serve you better, Lord. Father, we come here tonight, Lord, gathered together and hearing the requests, Lord, each and every one, Lord. We ask you to move upon them in a great and mighty way, Lord. That a great testimony come forth for each one. Thinking of little Ethan, Lord, have anesthesia in those injections, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd make it go away, Lord. Just help him in a great and mighty way, Lord. Just make it an easy transition for him, Father. And Father, each and every sickness, Lord, and each and every hand that went up, Lord, that you knew each one. And Father, you knew the request below that hand, and Lord, in their hearts, deep in the hearts of your people. Father, we ask you to move on those requests. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I believe Brother Isaac Weber has a special for us tonight. And just want to thank the Lord, Brother Anthony, he was in the hospital this morning. He's with us tonight. Amen. Sister Layton, she wasn't feeling good this morning. She's with us tonight. So, amen. Appreciate Brother Jeremiah filling in. And while Brother Anthony was gone, but good to have them back with us. And good to have all you with us tonight. Good to be in service to worship the Lord together. Brother Isaac.
For a long time I traveled. Glad that I found out that he would bring me out through his home.
I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that He would bring me out and show me the way first verse. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road.
Amen. How many is thankful that you're free?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes, right.
Amen. God bless you. Brother Luke, did you all have a special tonight?
The worst of all the ages, they
continue to say,
did you live a Christian life in such a godless day? Question after question, my heroes lifted me. Then I heard a voice behind me whisper tenderly,
this is she, the bride of the last days, who stood the worst of times when so many slipped away.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that you're called out? Yes. Amen. To be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord together a little bit in song. You appreciate our specials tonight. Amen. Yes. Amen. I just had a few of these old hymns on my heart tonight, and you helped me sing them. Brother Bram sang a lot of these. They're old songs, but they're good ones. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, sister, and my brother. He's everything. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Sing it tonight. Thank you.
looking at the blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart. Oh, it was black by sin. But he was looking at the blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. And he gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, he gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, oh, it's fuller, deeper, oh, it's sweeter. It's sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Love gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, fuller, it's deeper. His love is sweeter, it's sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. One more time together. As the days go by, his love gets sweeter as the moments fly. Oh, it's richer, fuller, deeper. His love is sweeter, it's sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Ask Brother Jack if he'd come be with us at this time. How many's been enjoying the services so far? Amen. Amen. Sure have enjoyed the fellowship and the services and the presence of the Lord in our midst. Looking forward to what he has for us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And just hope you came expecting great things from the Lord. Let's just sing this little song together. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down, oh glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling so much better since I lay my burdens. My burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, I've been shouting. Oh, laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, shouting since I laid my burdens down. Well,
so much better since I laid. Yes, I've been feeling so much better since I laid. One more time. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down,
Yes, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Everybody feeling better since they laid their burdens down? Amen. You can be seated tonight. Just have another song that I'd like to sing. And there are a few saints that I met about a month ago. We were in Johnson City. And there at Brother Reagan's. And I was asked to sing a song, and I did it, and man, we had a really good time, you know, there. And so I was asked to sing it here, you know, but I did want the church to know, you know, 5 years ago, my daughters actually did this song here, and, you know, at the house. I had a chance to go back and kind of listen to the sermon that was preached there at the home. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know they did that here. So, you know, just a blessing. And I guess this song been around for quite some time, and it's still blessing our hearts. So we're grateful for that. But let's. I'm gonna do this tonight. You are God alone. Amen. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Oh, you are not a God created by human hands. And you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. Hey, and right now in the good times and bad. Oh, you are on your throne because you are God alone. Oh, you're the only God whose power none can contain. And you're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne because you are God alone. I said you are God alone from before time began. Oh, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. Hey, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. I said you are God alone from before time began. Hey, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, yes, you are on your throne. Oh, you are God alone. Yeah, you're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. Yeah, you're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. Oh, that's what you are. Yes, you are, Jesus. Unchangeable.
unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Hey, you are God alone. From before time began, hey, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, hey, you are on your throne. Hey, you are God alone. One more time, you are God alone. From before time began, hey, you are on your throne. Hey, you are God alone. Oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, because you are God alone. Oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, hey, you are on your throne. You are God alone. I said right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, 'cause you are God alone. Oh, right now, in the good times and bad, you're still on your throne, because you are God alone. And if he's in you, that makes you unchangeable, makes you unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. I said you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable. That's who you are. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable. That's who you are.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. While I was singing that, it's the first time it ever hit me. Our message has endured so much over the last couple years. And I can say for those that are still holding on to the word of God, you're unshakable. Unstoppable. That's who you are. Can't be changed. There's nothing else. This is all I got. Amen. I heard somebody say, if this ain't that, then I'm going to keep this until that comes. Amen. My God, that's a wonderful revelation. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Unstoppable. That's who we are. Amen. Amen. The prize version? All right. I'll do that, but can you just reach over and shake your neighbor's hand and say, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. This is for the bride. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's who you are. Lord, I'm unstoppable. Hey, that's who I am. That's who I am. Lord, I'm unchangeable. I'm unshakable. I'm unstoppable. That's
You're invincible. That's who you are. That means you cannot be defeated. You're invincible. You're invincible. You are invincible. That's who you are. Unchangeable. Unshakable. Unstoppable. That's who we are. One more time, one more time. We're unchangeable. We're unshakable. We're unstoppable. That's who we are. Can you help me say that? Can you help me say that? We're unchangeable. Hallelujah. Unshakable. Yes. Unstoppable. That's who we are. That's who we are. Hey, yeah. Unchangeable. Hallelujah. Unshakable. Glory. Unstoppable. That's who we are. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Come on. Unchangeable. Yeah. Unshakable. Oh, unstoppable. That's who we are. Come on one more time. Everybody say unchangeable. Hallelujah. Unshakable. Oh, unstoppable. That's who you are. That's who you are. Sounds so good. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's who you are. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, what revelation we receive through the words of that song. And as you just brought it to my heart, God, just thinking about just all the things that have happened over the past couple years, and the reason that I'm able to keep standing is because you made me this way. You made me unchangeable. You made me unshakable. No matter what somebody comes up with, I'm unshakable. Because I'm that, I'm also unstoppable. I didn't do that for myself, but you did that. God, you're worthy of my glory. You're worthy of my honor. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy, God. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my service. You're worthy of my offering. You are worthy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just want to tell you how much I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You could have chose anybody else, but you chose me. God, as we just prepare to turn our attention towards your word, the first thing that I want to say, God, is that you have the preeminence in this service. It's not about anybody here, but it's about Christ. And your prophet told us that at any time you can anoint your congregation. And Lord, I want you to, Lord, be at liberty to do whatever you want to do in this place tonight. We're not afraid of your spirit. We actually welcome your spirit. We long for more of your spirit. So have your way, God, in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Welsh Revival was reading somewhere, and it said one of the reasons why that revival took off is because there was
a young sister who was in church, and at this time, you know, they just didn't really, they didn't worship that much, you know, but this young sister just stood up in church and say, "I love you, Lord." And when she stood up and said that, people looked at her like, "Why? No, we don't talk like that in church." But when she said, "I love you, Lord," then somebody else said, "I love you, Lord." And the next person, "I love you, Lord." And as people begin to express their worship and adoration to God, a revival broke out. Amen. And so I encourage you, amen, if God is, the Spirit of God is on you, you just express your love back to Him the same way He's expressing His love to you. Oh, He wants to give us all an experience. We're dedicating temples this weekend. Not just one temple, but temples. We're dedicating temples this weekend. So we welcome the Spirit of God. Amen. Actually, I'm so happy just to see what the Lord is already doing tonight. And I believe He has so much more in store. I don't know what could happen in this place, but I'm not afraid of it. Amen. I'm not afraid of it. Amen. I thank God for it. I want to read, amen, a portion of scripture here in Numbers 12. Pastor told me that he had just finished a series, amen, on Moses. And we began to speak a little bit about Moses this morning. And I had in my heart to come back tonight with a little bit more of Moses. So I believe this is where the Lord wants us. And amen, I trust that He will just get all the glory and all the honor from this little thought here tonight. Numbers chapter 12, and I'll just read a couple of verses starting at verse 6. Amen. Here in Numbers 12. And He said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated. Our subject tonight, amen, for a title would be mouth to mouth. Amen, mouth to mouth. I know, amen, tonight we stand in the heart of where the message of the hour was birthed. Amen. It's in this part of the country, center of our United States, that, you know, the message of the hour came right out of here. And some of the things that I'll share here tonight, maybe some of the quotes, and I always find it very, very, it's always amazing to me. As I come and I might read a quote, there's somebody in the audience that could say, "You know what, my grandma or my father or my this or my that was there when this happened." You know, we don't have too much of that where I'm from, but here in this area, I mean, somebody's identified with these quotes. They're connected. Their family is connected. And I think that's very precious, you know. But understand something for me is that for me to believe the message, it wasn't because I grew up and I had relatives that could tell me about the prophet, or that I could, amen, that if I had relatives that might have attended, you know, the church where the prophet preached. When I was introduced to the message, and for me to believe the message, it came to me through scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. It was because of scripture that I could see in the Bible, and then I could kind of align Brother Branham's life, you know, especially after I read the life story of God's prophet. After I read that, I was sold. I'd never met him one day in my life, but if God could do these things from the man's birth all the way to his death, then God must be with him. Amen. So, you know, when scripture was presented to me, these are the things that just settled me. So I believe the message not because of my relatives, but I believe the message because of what God said in his word. And he promised, according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Amen. There's not going to be two. There's not going to be three. There's going to be one prophet that God's going to send, amen, with the spirit of Elijah. And that's supposed to come before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Right. Hallelujah. I love the way God positions this in scripture. He goes to the last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter, the last few verses. He sneaks something in there. Hallelujah. And here this book, most churches never read from this. When I was coming up, we didn't know Malachi existed. But when I heard about the prophet, then something just, wait a minute. That's in the Bible? Yes, it's right there. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And it says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." And we know that identifies the ministry of John the Baptist because the Bible says so. But, amen, this other part says, "And the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Amen. And that was turning our hearts back to the word. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, because that's where my heart has been turned tonight, is back to the word. Also, God put something else in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. He stuck another scripture. And actually, I'm only using one, but most of us being message believers, we know that there are so many scriptures that pertain to this ministry. Hallelujah. Revelation 18 pertains to it. St. Luke 17 pertains to it. Huh? Many scriptures that pertain to it, but I'm using the scriptures tonight that we're most familiar with. Revelation 10:7. He says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." Right. See, these are things that we find in scripture. Even if we were to identify the three pulls of Brother Branham, we can still identify each one of those pulls in the scripture. This is why we believe it, because it's found in the scripture. The first pull was found in Mark 16. Because the Bible said they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And what Brother Branham would do is just lay his hands on the sick just by touching them, and God would reveal to him what was going on in that person's body. Hallelujah. That was found in scripture. That's why we can accept that sign. Yes, right. The second pull was found in 1 Corinthians 12, because there we have prophecy and discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham could discern the spirit that was in a person. Amen. He could tell them exactly what was going on, but it wasn't Brother Branham doing it. It was the spirit of Jesus Christ in him doing these things. Right. Yes, sir. That's why oftentimes he'd go to the pulpit and he would just wait for the angel of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I appreciate that. And the other thing that I find is because, you know, he taught us about the body realm and the spirit realm and the soul realm. And when you think about it, when you look at it, the first pull was actually conducted on the body realm. That was touch, right? And the second pull was done in the spirit realm, right? But the third pull went a little deeper. It went down to the soul. Amen. And that third pull could be found in Revelation 10:7, because when the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Right. Now, you know, Brother Branham made a comment here that I want to just read to you. That I just find very, very, amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Let me just find it here real quick. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, here it is. I have heard, but now I see. He says, "Now we're promised a church age through reformers, and we've had them. But he promised in Malachi 4 he'd keep his pattern in the last days, what would take place, to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the apostolic father for that very purpose. And the church is so broke up in denominations and isms, is so torn to pieces till it's dead, it's been a carrier."
He says, and then he promised in the hour of the seventh angel's message, the seven seals would be revealed and the mysteries of God would be declared. Revelation 10, when the seventh angel begins to sound his message, not the healing service, the message that follows the healing service. Hallelujah. So now we see Revelation 10:7 is being fulfilled in the message that is following the healing service. The healing service was just to get our attention. Amen. But after he got our attention, then he wanted to reveal to us his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We think about this subject tonight of mouth to mouth. I want to just go a little further here in our thought, amen, because I believe that's the way God is speaking to his people. It's mouth to mouth. In the fourth seal, the prophet says this, but now when it comes forth, the eagle age, that's the one that God always likens his prophets to, eagles. He calls himself an eagle. The eagle goes so high, there ain't nothing else can touch him. Not only is he up there, but he's built for that position. When he gets up there, he sees where he's at. Some people get up there and can't see where they're at. So don't do no good to get up there. He says, but you let a crow try to fly with an eagle or a hawk, either one, he disintegrate. He's got to be pressurized for where he goes. He says, that's the trouble today. Some of us don't get pressurized. We explode too quick. You see, when we're jumping, but we got to be pressurized when you get up there and have the keen sight of the eagle to see what's coming and know what to do. Now, the eagle age revealed it. Now, we find out that eagle age was promised in Revelation 10:7 and in Malachi 4. And it says that would be in the last days. See, that it would be. That it would be here, all right. Now, another statement that Brother Branham makes here in Feast of the Trumpets. It says, notice Revelation 10, 1 to 7. All the mysteries are to be revealed to the bride by the messenger of the Laodicean church. Has anybody got a revised version Bible? If you have, you'll notice there where it said the angel. It's in parentheses. It says the eagle. He says, see, the messenger to the Laodicean church, see, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And what he's saying, when you get it out of the Revised Version Bible, you see where we just read the angel, amen, but in the Revised Version says the eagle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we know that Brother Branham is considered the eagle, and we're living in the eagle age, and eagles will feed mouth to mouth. Stay with me here. I want to go now to as the eagle stirreth her nest. As the eagle stirreth, Brother Branham makes this comment, says, I begin to study the eagle. And when I read this, what about the eagle? I find out that the eagle is a very odd bird. He can fly higher than any other bird that there is. He's a special built bird. Hallelujah. He builds his nest in the rocks. Way up high, he's a very odd bird. And another thing, his feathers are so tight, you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. I just begin to think about that. An eagle, his feathers are so tight that you could take pliers and you couldn't get them out. Right? I mean, he says you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. And I'm thinking now, I'm typing that to, you know, things that are happening today. The reason that we're still sitting here, we're not shaken by all the other stuff that's going on around us, is because as eagles, you can't pull feathers out even with a pair of pliers. No matter how hard you pull, you can't pull me out. Oh, I'm grateful for that. See, I know that I'm an eagle. That's who I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why that song meant so much to me tonight. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. No sense in, I mean, it doesn't matter. Put up another website. It doesn't matter what we read. We're going to stay right with this. There's nothing better on the earth. Nothing has come and nothing will come. This is it. Hallelujah. And if we're standing by ourselves, then we'll stand by ourselves. Because that's the way eagles are. They fly alone. They dwell alone. They don't need a big group. They see things that other birds can't see. And that's just the way God designed them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at this. The prophet goes on to say this. He says, he's a very odd bird. Another thing, his feathers are so tight you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. He's a huge mammoth bird, one of the biggest there is. He's a very odd bird, but he's built special because he has a special work to do. The word eagle means ripper with the beak, and he feeds with the beak. A very beautiful thing of the word of God, amen, a feed from mouth to mouth. God feeding his children. Oh, that's nothing but the truth. Right? Because even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So eagles feed from mouth to mouth. Jehovah Eagle gave it to his prophet Eagle. And then he's got some little eaglets here that's feeding mouth to mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. He says, and then he builds his nest high. And he has that for a purpose and everything. Now, if the eagle had a great powerful wing, that's for deliverance. I recently I saw a little video on YouTube. And he's talking about the powerful wings of the eagle. And it says, and that's for deliverance. And I was just watching this little video because, you know, we know eagles, when they want fresh kill food. Yeah. And that eagle had, you know, you can see him, he was fishing. And as he was fishing, he's soaring up high. And my, the timing of the way that he fishes, because he's soaring high and he can see that maybe the fish in the water getting ready to rise up, maybe to come to the top. And that eagle can just notice, and he times it just right, so he starts swooping down. Coming at a terrific speed. And this eagle got right there on the water, and he dropped down into the water, and he grabbed the fish with his talons, and my, he had a hold of one. And, you know, usually when they grab with their talons, they just lift them up, and they just carry them to wherever they're going to go to feed their little ones. Well, this eagle got a hold of a nice-sized fish, and I guess he didn't realize how big the fish was. So when he got a hold of this fish, you know, he reached down, hit him with the talons, and then he tried to lift up and realized that this was a little bit too heavy. He couldn't lift him up. So Brother Branham said he has powerful wings, and I seen that eagle do something on the video that I never seen any other eagle do. And what that eagle did, so since he couldn't lift him up, he didn't just let him go. No, this is dinner. Right? I gotta take this fish home. So rather than give up on the fish, you know, hallelujah. Some people, maybe there's some things they might not understand about the message. Don't give up on it. Don't quit on it. Maybe you got a hold of something you don't know too much about. Just stay with it. God will reveal it in time. And here, that eagle got a hold of that fish, and he tried to lift up, but he couldn't. Well, what I saw the eagle do is he took his wings and he put them out, and he began to swim. And he began to swim. And he just kept swimming with the fish. I've never seen an eagle do anything like that. But he began to swim until he got the fish all the way to the shore. And then he lifted him up in the rocks, and he just sat there and waited for the fish to die, and he had dinner for his family. Right. If you get a hold of something you don't know what to do, just swim with it for a little bit. Right. If you can't fly with it, swim with it. The prophet says this, that eagle had great powerful wings. That's for deliverance. And another thing the eagle does that's strange, he renews his youth. The eagle, after so long a time, just rotates. Amen. And comes right back to a young eagle again, brings himself right back. And Brother Branham tells the story of how when that eagle, maybe his eyes are getting a little crusted over, and he can't see the way he used to see, And he knows that, amen, if he does not get that crust off his eyes, then he's going to be finished. Yeah. So that eagle will fly high up into the mountain, into the rocks, and he'll just stand there right next to the rocks, and he'll just start beating his head against the rock. He'll beat his head until, you know, blood is coming out from everywhere, but he knows that he has to break that, whatever it is that on his eyes, he has to break those scales. In order for his youth to be renewed, in order for him to get back to where he used to be. Right. Hallelujah. It might take some prayer meetings. Right. It might take some fasting. Yes. It might take a little bit more than what we have been doing in order to get to the place where we used to be. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Says another thing the eagle does that's strange. He renews his youth. The eagle, after so long a time, just rotates and comes right back to a young eagle again. Brings himself right back. He renews his youth. That's another type of the church of God's people. We'll get all down and kind of stale.
Yes.
And then all at once the Holy Spirit comes and renews us again.
Amen.
God renewing the experience and the youth of his church, giving them a new experience. That is a type of the eagle. You know, I thank God for this because, again, we want to remember that eagle speed, mouth to mouth, God himself being Jehovah Eagle, giving the word to his prophet on the earth. The prophet also being identified as an eagle. Revelation 10:7 identifies him as an eagle, but eagles feed other eagles. Hallelujah.
Right.
So I'm calling you eagles tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You're not a buzzard. Amen. You're not a buzzard. You're also not a chicken. You know how I know you're not a chicken? Because, you know, when we heard this message, there was one story that Brother Branham told us that everybody rejoiced with. And what he told us is that there was a mother eagle that lost her egg, misplaced it. And come to find out her babies had been born. And she said, I know I got one more baby somewhere. I don't know where that baby is, but I know it's somewhere around here. Come to find out the baby had been born in a chicken coop, a denominational church. Hallelujah. And there the baby was in the chicken coop. And as they begin to develop, the baby begin to develop, it realized I'm different than these chickens. I'm an odd bird. I don't fit with everybody else. I don't look like everybody else. And, you know, and I mean, maybe they're having flying lessons. And maybe the mother chicken said, hey, you watch it because you're flying a little bit too high. It couldn't help being that type of bird. Hallelujah. But there come a day and there come a time when mama said, I want my baby. I must find my baby. And mama went circling around the area. And as she started circling around, she looked down on the ground. She said, that odd bird, that's my baby down there. And Brother Branham talked about how the mama let out a scream. Hallelujah, church. And the mama let out that scream, and when she let out the scream, the little baby eagle heard the scream up above and looked up and said, what is that up there?
Right.
That's your mama eagle.
Amen.
Say, I've been wondering why I was so strange, and maybe mama and the baby just begin to communicate a little bit, and mama said, now, all you need to do to get out of the situation you're in is just flap your wings.
Yes.
Well, mama, they told me not to flap my wings down here because something may go wrong. Say, no, you were built different. You were made different. Just flap your wings and you'll come out of that situation. And I can see that baby eagle just begin to flap the wings and maybe got a little scared. But mama say, just flap and just rise and then set your wings and let the wind carry you.
All right.
Hallelujah. And when Brother Branham told that story, every believer could identify that we were not chickens. We were eagles. And eagles feed from mouth to mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Listen. You know, when Brother Branham made a statement here in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I want to read this. It says, many years ago, when the angel of the Lord had met me down here at the river the first time and appeared in that light and the words that he spoke there 11 years later, when I walked into a meeting, he said, this little woman rose and spoke in tongues and interpreted. It was a word for word, the same thing that angel said. Now I want to just stop and pause on this because in my early days of Christianity, I used to have a really big problem, and I'm confessing it tonight before everybody. But I had a big problem with seeing somebody rise up, speak in tongues, and then give the interpretation. And I say, well, I don't know if that's truly God, because you speaking in tongues and you're also the one giving interpretation. Well, God had to deal with me on that. And then he took me to the natural and said, now, if there was a person here speaking another language, maybe Spanish or French or something like that, and they also understood English, but you didn't understand their Spanish or their French, yes, they could actually speak in their native tongue and then interpret to you in English what they just said.
Right.
If they can do that naturally, then can't God do the same thing spiritually?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That set me free. It says, I walked into the meeting of this little woman, rose and spoke in tongues and interpreted. It was word for word the same thing that the angel said. And this same little woman, when I walked into the tabernacle or the place at Shreveport that we were in, the life tabernacle, the Holy Spirit moved on that woman and said word for word what he said to me up there on the hill. Then the Spirit began to move and give interpretation for telling things by revelation, by prophecy, the things that would happen in the meeting the following night. And not one time did it fail. Oh, for a meeting like that again. Before that, a little woman stood up in the meeting, a Baptist woman, come over there not knowing what she could do. And she was standing in the midst of the meeting and the Holy Spirit fell on her and she began to speak with tongues, a Baptist woman from the First Baptist Church at Shreveport. And then she didn't know what she had did. And this is what it says. And then before she could say anything, the Holy Spirit gave the interpretation and said, thus saith the Lord. Within 3 months, there'll be the spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ ministering in this tabernacle. And I thought about that. He said, there it happened perfectly. So this lady gives a message in tongues, and then the interpretation comes, and the interpretation said, within 3 months, thus saith the Lord, there will be the spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ ministering in this tabernacle. I thought about that because, see, I don't think it was three different men that were going to be coming to that tabernacle. But there was going to be one man that walked into that tabernacle and would have all three of those spirits dwelling in him. The spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and Christ. All in one man. See, Brother Branham's ministry typed all of this. And what's the attraction on the mountain? The prophet said, I took a piece of paper and my Bible. When he went up into the mountain, he says, I took a piece of paper and my Bible. And when I thought about that, that's exactly what Moses did when he took the tablets up into the mountain. Brother Branham said, I took a piece of paper and my Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find that in Deuteronomy 10, verse 1 through 5. Moses was commanded to go. He was commanded to hew out stones and to bring them into the mountain. Brother Branham went into the mountain with a piece of paper and his Bible. Look at this. The Bible says in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. That's how we know that the prophet, amen, the prophet, God being the Jehovah eagle, went to the prophet eagle and gave him the word, and then he gives it to us. Because surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Yes. God came to Moses in the midst of the bush. Jesus, and so when we think about, you know, the word coming to the prophet, God came to Moses in the midst of a bush. That was the word coming to the prophet. Jesus went to John the Baptist. That was the word coming to the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. And as Moses, we look at these types, as Moses was given two signs. Amen. The angel also met the prophet and he also gave Brother Branham two signs. Right? Moses received, amen, a visitation in the bush. Brother Branham received a visitation in a cave. Yeah, right. My God. Hallelujah. I don't see how people can miss it. All right. It's all in the scripture. Yeah. And if you're going to go back to the word, if that's what everybody's saying, we're going back to the word, I wonder what you've been following all this time. All right. I've been following the word and I can see the types all over the word. Amen. Listen. Brother Branham's ministry type Moses' ministry. One of the things here, and I just love this. I want you to, in Exodus 21, I won't read it, but you can go back and read it when you get time. But what happened there is that the people wanted God to speak through Moses rather than hear from God directly. Right. Hallelujah. They said that when God just began to kind of thunder down, amen, on the mountain, he first told them, say, don't let anybody come near this mountain. Don't even let an animal come near this mountain. God began to thunder down all the Ten Commandments. And as they were coming down, the people said, oh, no, Moses, have God not speak to us, but you speak to us. God honored that. Way back in the book of Exodus, God honored that he would give his word to a prophet and then have the prophet speak to the people. if the people asked for that, why today people reject it? That's what you asked for, and that's exactly what God did.
Right.
Hallelujah. Moses received the Ten Commandments. Brother Branham received the revelation of the seven seals. Moses met the angel of the Lord in a burning bush. Brother Branham met the angel of the Lord in a cave. Moses was given two signs. Throw down the rod, and it would become a snake. Pick it up by the tail, and it would be a rod again. That was the power to bind and loose. But also, put your hand in your bosom and take it out. That was a sign of divine healing. My, Moses was not eloquent in speech. Brother Branham had a seventh grade education. See, they said that it would be the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and Christ. We can see the types in Elijah's ministry with Brother Branham's ministry. Elijah enjoyed the wilderness, and Brother Branham also enjoyed the wilderness. Hallelujah. And Elijah, we saw his spirit not only in the days of Elijah, but also in the days of John the Baptist. They both came against women in that day that were not lined up with the word of God. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Here comes Jezebel, and she was not a daughter of Israel. She was not an example. She was coming against the word all the time, trying to destroy the prophets and everything. Here Elijah had to deal with that Jezebel spirit in his day. After that tremendous experience on Mount Carmel, she heard the testimony of what Elijah did by destroying those prophets. She said, by this time tomorrow, I'll have his head. What kind of lady was this? Herodias come to church one day, and I can just see her at home getting herself all dressed up, looking really pretty. And then maybe they come to church just a little bit late. Maybe she had a nice hat. And she comes into church. And when she comes in, John is preaching, but immediately his sermon changes.
Come on, man.
He had a nice text. And everybody just said amen. And then he just yells out and screams, it's not lawful for you to have her. And I can just see her, standing there late coming to church. And like, is he talking to me? Say, it's not lawful for you to have her. She was so embarrassed. I can just see her just, I can't believe he just said that. He just embarrassed me in front of everybody. I can't believe it. She had it in her mind that she was going to get John at some point in time. And she used her daughter to dance provocatively before her husband. And cause him to say, you can have half my kingdom. She's like, well, what do I ask for, mama? Ask for the head of John the Baptist.
Right.
And say, I got him now. But you know what? You might kill the man, but the spirit is still living on.
Amen.
Ooh.
Glory.
Brother Branham had to go against spiritual Jezebel. And that was the denominational church of today. Jezebel, Herodias, every woman that they went, the spirit of Elijah went against, it was a woman in a position of leadership.
Right. Come on, brother.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I want to just say something here. I got a little quote that I want to read you. My. Here, John was killed by, this plot of Herodias. Amen. And Brother Branham made a statement here that I think would be a blessing to you. This is out of Go Wake Jesus. Remember now, as I typed his ministry, see, first the prophet of Galilee. Everybody believed him to be a prophet, but he was a prophet to heal the sick. But when he went to tampering in with the Pharisees and Sadducees and their traditions, then he became a madman. They said he is crazy. They wanted nothing to do with him. And it finally led to his crucifixion. He said, and that's the way it always did down through the Bible. It's done the same thing. And it'll have to do the same thing this way. Being it's God, it'll have to come to that very end of time. But you'll never crucify a message. You might crucify the messenger, but you'll never crucify his message if it's from God. Because it's the message. He's just a bearer of the message. I love that quote.
Amen.
Because what I find a lot of people doing is trying to crucify the messenger. But when you ask them, say, now, where did you go wrong with this revelation? They have nothing to say. Right. My, 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 my. You might try to crucify the messenger, but you can't crucify the message. Amen. Oh, glory. The message came from Christ. Yeah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see, amen, that Brother Branham was that prophecy that went forth in that church, and the Baptist sister spoke. And she said that, you know, here, and thus saith the Lord, within 3 months, there's going to be somebody with the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Christ. And I believe that was all fulfilled in the life and the ministry of Brother William Branham. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Here's what I want to get to you. When God wanted to correct Moses, he made the statement here in the scripture. When we go back and we just read that, it says, he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and also will speak unto him in a dream. So God can use visions and God can use dreams to speak to his people. We just read the quote, how he spoke through tongues and interpreted. God used all that in order to get a message across. And Brother Branham said, when all that was used, everything that was spoken was spot on. That's what he said. So God can use those things. We're not discrediting that in any way. We welcome that. Yes. As long as it's lined up with the word. Amen. Right? We welcome that, church. It's in the Bible, so we have to welcome that. But when we're talking about God's prophet, we're not talking about somebody just receiving a vision or receiving a dream, because God said, he said, Moses, my servant Moses is not so. I'm not just talking about visions and dreams with Moses. Even though I do deal that way with him sometimes, I deal with other prophets that way sometimes, but Moses, my servant, is a little different. He say, Moses, my servant, is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. He says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord, shall he behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against Moses, against my servant Moses? When God wants to correct his prophet, he speaks to him mouth to mouth. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that when God wants to correct his prophet, he doesn't use other people to do that. That's not the scripture. It's nobody's job on the earth. Amen. To try to correct the prophet. Amen. When God wants to correct his prophet, he will speak to him mouth to mouth. Now, I got a quote here, and I'll show you where God corrected his prophet. What had happened here, and this is out of the message, the angel and the commission. What had happened here, Brother Branham, my God, my God, my God. It says he was challenging people. He was standing in a meeting in Phoenix, and he was challenging the people, say, bring all your hard cases up here to the platform. He said, we'll pray, and I guarantee God will heal them. And say, one time there was a young lady that come, and she was crippled. And Brother Branham spent 1 hour and 45 minutes praying for this one girl until she was healed. He challenged them to bring their hard cases. They brought their hard cases, and he stood right there and prayed for them until the person was healed. Now, God honored it. Right. But what happened later on is that the angel met the prophet. See, when he wants to correct them, he comes and he talks directly to him. I'm sorry. We don't need anybody to put up any more material to try to correct the prophet. No, we don't need it. We got scripture on how God corrects his prophet. He don't use people to do it. Right? He does it himself. Glory. Oh, my, my, my. So what happened here, here in this quote, Brother Branham says, I could not impersonate the voice if I had to. But I heard it just as plain and audible as my voice is to you, said, you're confining too much of that gift of healing to perform miracles. It will come to pass that people will not believe you unless there's a miracle performed. This is what the angel of the Lord is telling the prophet. People won't believe you unless there's a miracle performed. Right. And he goes on to say, in this quote, he says, I raised up I laid down on the bed, and what he was talking about is how the angel had come to him to correct him on how he was using this gift and challenging the people and everything. And he said, don't do it that way. The angel's coming to correct the prophet. Don't handle the gift that way. So he was sitting there in his room, in his hotel room, and here his son Billy Paul and also his brother Donnie's in the room with him. He says, I raised up, I laid down on the bed, and there it was just above the bed, milling around like a whole lot of colors in the rainbow, milling around, and I looked at it, and I laid there a little while. I felt relief. I felt that my sin was forgiven me. And I said, does my Lord care if my little boy see you? Nothing made any noise. We had just twin bed. We had every place was taken up for miles around. And we had twin beds in the room, and my brother and my little boy was sleeping on the bed next to me. The twin bed. Can you imagine this? Here the angel Lord is actually in the room talking to the prophet, and the other two that are in the room have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
That's biblical. Same thing happened with Paul, right? On the road to Damascus. These things happen in like I started out saying, the reason I believe this message is because I can see it in the scripture. If you read your Bible, you will see it as well. Listen, it says, every place was taken up for miles around, and we had twin beds in the room. My brother and my little boy were sleeping on the bed next to me, the twin bed. And I said, Billy. He didn't answer. I said, Donnie, he didn't answer. And I took my pillow watching that. And I knew by not answering, I knew it was all right. He said, the angel did not answer him when he asked the question, can my little boy see you? Right. Right? The angel did not answer. He said, since the angel did not say no, he knew it was going to be all right. So he said he took a pillow. He said, I knew by not answering, I knew it was all right. Never said yes. And I threw my pillow like that, and it hit my brother Donnie. And I said, Donnie. He said, yes. And I said, call Billy. Donnie said, Billy, your dad wants you. Just then I said, Billy, look. He looked, said, what do you want, Daddy? About that time, Donnie jumped out of the bed screaming, oh! Billy said, oh, Daddy, Daddy. He jumped out of the bed and jumped over and said, don't let that get me. Don't let that get me. And I said, honey, that won't hurt you. I said, many times I was single 5 years, and I've been a father and mother both to him, and just pack his little bottles of milk in my pocket, and at nighttime lay it under my head to keep it warm so I could give it to him at night. His mother died when he was only 18 months old, and I just had to raise him, been both father and mother. I said, many times when I'm especially flying, he said, Daddy, I'm so afraid you're going to go away and never come back to me again. I said, no, honey, I'll be back. And I said, now, honey, that's the reason Daddy goes. That's the angel of the Lord that leads Daddy. He was just in the room talking to me. Remember, the sermon is mouth to mouth. When God wants to correct his prophet, he comes to speak to him mouth to mouth. And he told Brother Billy Paul, he said he was just in the room talking to me. And I asked him if you could see, so you won't worry about Daddy, and know that that's the angel that leads Daddy. That's where that pillar was about like that, mingling with colors, and went on. Donnie, he didn't know hardly what to think, my older brother, and then it milled around like that and went woo. See, when the angel of the Lord comes to correct his prophet mouth to mouth, we don't have to worry about anybody on the internet.
Amen.
If you're doing anything wrong, God will take care of it.
That's right.
All he wants you to do is just believe. Because God speaks to his prophet mouth to mouth.
Right.
Now notice in the scripture, because Miriam and Aaron decided that they wanted to criticize Moses. God had to kind of stand there and say, look, you don't handle Moses that way. You don't speak about him that way. So you don't need to correct Moses. You're looking at his marital situation. You don't need to correct it. Let me handle that. So he said, now, you know, because y'all sitting here and y'all doing Moses this way, he says, Miriam had to suffer. And she ended up getting leprosy. Brother Branham made some comments here, you know, about that, and I just want to read a quote. But she ended up getting leprosy because of her criticism of God's prophet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hearing the message as the Lord spoken only to Moses, it says, now we want to turn our attention just a moment to the attitude of Miriam and Aaron. They thought that Moses had done wrong. Look at that. They thought that Moses had done wrong. Watch what you are thinking. Oh my. If I could just say, you know, I said it this morning, it's not who you think should be the prophet. It's who God says is the prophet. And if God identified William Branham as the prophet, then we all just got to receive that and walk in that. And can I tell you this way? Mistakes and all. And I'll give you an example. Right? Abraham was down there in the land where he should not have been. And when he went down there, and the king Abimelech saw his wife, said, oh my, I've been praying for a wife. Thank God for this man coming down here to this country and bringing his sister. Because that's what Abraham said. She's my sister. Right? And he said, thank God for his sister. You know, I can finally get married tonight. Man, this is going to be wonderful. Take Sarah in. Next thing you know, God comes to him in a dream and says, don't you touch that man's wife. What do you mean, touch his wife? He said, it's his sister. Is that not what he said? Say, I know that's what he said, but that's his wife, and I don't want you to touch her. Say, but God, you know the integrity of my heart. Yes, I know the integrity of your heart. That's why I won't allow you to touch that man's wife.
Right.
Not only that, he says, now I want you to give that man back his wife, and then I want you to have him pray for you because he is my prophet. And maybe Abimelech said, the liar? Yes, the liar. And God does not see Abraham as a liar. God sees Abraham as his prophet. See, it's not how we perceive it. It's how God perceives it. See, you're just wasting your time. That's what people do, and wasting a lot of time. If God wants to correct his prophet, and he did. I just read the quote where he did. When he does it mouth to mouth. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's good.
We want to turn our attention just a moment to the attitude of Miriam and Aaron. They thought that Moses had done wrong. They wanted to correct him. God was speaking to them truly. But he said, if there be one among you who's a prophet, I'll visit him in miracles or visions and appear to him in dreams and so forth. But Moses, I have spoke mouth to mouth with him. And Miriam was stricken with leprosy immediately. And Aaron run in because Miriam was Moses' own sister. So it doesn't pay to talk about God's servant, does it? Now, I just have a feeling that if Brother Branham were alive right now, we wouldn't have a lot of people spreading all kind of stuff all over the internet. I have a real strange feeling that they wouldn't be bold enough.
Right. That's right, brother.
You can only do that after he leaves the scene.
Right.
Because while he was here, there was 300 300 ministers that thought they could try to, you know, they could try to correct him. Amen. 300 ministers that thought they could correct him on water baptism. But when they got down there, he began to tell them everything that happened. They said, no, we're not going to touch this. He said, they actually said, we coming to be baptized. They first was against it, but then they start believing it after they saw how God handled the whole situation. Told them what room they was going to be in, the room that they had for months, for years, they had this room lined up. So no, you're not going to get that room. You're going to be over here. And this person going to be sitting here. This person going to be doing that. The prophet told them everything that was going to happen. And they walked out there and say, everything he told me is happening in this room. Now, y'all might disagree with him on this doctrine, but I can tell you that this man is a man of God.
Amen.
And then he stood up there with no vision, no dream. He said, you want to disprove it? Bring your Bible.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen. Not what you think, not what you feel. Bring your Bible.
Right.
not what somebody else wrote. Bring your Bible. And you disprove it with your Bible. Because I can prove it with my Bible. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh my.
He said that was the quietest bunch you ever seen. Not a pin drop. Right. Nobody. No, I thought 300 of y'all couldn't come up here with your Bible. Nobody. Everybody stayed still. We coming to get baptized. They were lying. They never came.
That's right.
Hallelujah. See, when people had experiences like that, it was hard for them to come against a prophet. But when he's not here, it's very easy for people to rise up and say all kind of things.
Amen.
But you see, the bride is unshakable.
Amen.
The bride is unstoppable.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He goes on to say this. So God spoke to Aaron here and told him, saying, seeing that what he done by Moses, saying, didn't you fear to say those things about him? And so Aaron run to Moses and said his sister was stricken in her with white with leprosy, of course, and said, would you let her die? So Moses threw himself before God and pleaded for her. And Miriam was stricken with leprosy, though. She had to stay. And Israel halted their journey 7 days according to the law till they could bring her out of the camp again. Brother Branham, his ministry, just as that prophecy went forth and interpretation, the tongues and interpretation of tongues said that the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Christ will be speaking in this tabernacle within 3 weeks. There was a time where Brother Branham was desiring to leave the field. And he was contemplating just going out to the woods and just becoming a woodsman. And so, and what had happened is that he had developed a complex against the people because he didn't feel like they were receiving what he was saying. I thank God. I thank God because, like I said, I wasn't born in this area. But I thank God that the message reached me right where I was. See, and when he was speaking certain things, he said, I might not be speaking to this audience. No, he was speaking to people that were not even born yet.
Right.
He knew that I would need this.
Amen.
When I come up through my Baptist church and I was just so messed up in that, and my Pentecost church, he knew I would need this.
Yes.
And it was planted out there, books and tapes everywhere, and all I had to do was just hold on to that.
Amen.
Even when I didn't understand it all. If I couldn't fly with it, I would swim with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. That's right.
And as you just hold on to it, God begins to reveal more and more and more. And every little question that you might have, God will make it known to you in due time. But you got to learn to just be patient. And sometimes God is testing your patience. Well, why can't, and you might even ask the pastor, what do you think about that? The pastor might not know right away. Well, it must be wrong. No, it's not wrong. God will send another minister in and share the same thing that you're looking for if you have the right attitude.
Amen.
Just wait on God. Brother Branham was thinking about getting away from the ministry, and he's thinking, I'll take my wife, we'll go up into the woods, and we'll just be woodsmen. And he said, I'll just come out whenever God would tell me, and I'll come out, and I'll give thus saith the Lord, then I go right back to the woods. Well, he was telling a story, and I can't read all the quote here tonight, but he was telling the story of how he was in the restaurant, and he saw this man, and he looked at this, he looked like a nice woodsman. He come in, and he say, the man sat down and let out a sneeze. He say, oh, boy, that's a manly sneeze right there. He said, that's the kind of man I want to be like. Just by a sneeze. Well, in another booth, there was two other men that was there. And they got up and they walked out to pay their bill. And Brother Billy Paul looked at him and said, Daddy, that looked like you and Fletcher, I believe. That's y'all profile right there. Brother Branham began to just sink. He's like, no, I don't want to be like that. And here, he said the men look a little raggedy. And then he said, he kept driving down the street and the angel of the Lord began to talk to him again. See, when God wants to deal with his prophet,
yes,
he comes and he talks to him mouth to mouth.
Yes.
Before I read this quote, let me just drop this one little thought off. Jesus said that John the Baptist was, you know, there was no other prophet greater than him that had come. Jesus spoke those words. Right. But Brother Branham told us up until that time. And the reason Brother Branham could say up until the time, not that he's changing the scripture, is that the revelation of why John the Baptist was in that role is because he was introducing the Messiah. Yes. Guess what? Brother Branham's ministry, according to Malachi 4, was doing the same thing that John the Baptist was doing. And Brother Branham began to kind of reason some things out and hear the angel come talk to him mouth to mouth. And this is in standing in the gap. So he went to sleep, and I went speeding down the road about 55 miles an hour in the truck over the mountains coming on towards the border down to coming home to Arizona. But I was coming now into Utah, and I got there. And as I got there coming down from the mountains about 20 miles out of the city, you heard it as I told you about the morning about the squirrels and all things, how something, somebody went to talking to me, a voice just the same as you hear mine. I know it sounds neurotically. But as I've got through expressing, have I ever told you anything but what was right? And a voice got to talking, and I was talking to him. Amen. And it said, carry out your plans and you'll be like that. When he was thinking about leaving the ministry and just going to the woods and then coming out when he had a thus saith the Lord, the angel said, you carry out your plans and you'll be like that. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Said, your wife will go too. She won't live up there in them hills like that, and you'll become a bum just as the dream showed you would. I said, I don't want to be that. Says, I don't want to have to live like that. I want to do something different. But I was told you had called me to be a prophet, and I want to live in the wilderness like the prophet. But I was using my own excuse so I could hunt my own good. And look at what the angel said, and he said, but that was the prophets of the Old Testament. You've been called to be there in a much higher office than that. My, if he can speak to Moses mouth to mouth, he can certainly speak to his prophet today mouth to mouth. He says, you've been called to be there in a much higher office than that. He said, you have more gifts besides that. You was called to pray for the sick and to preach the gospel, and in the apostolic form, greater things, many great gifts. He said, why do you wait for me to move you every time you move? Where's your reward? Then I seen and then said, do you remember I told you? Do you remember what Brother Robertson told you in your dream, in his dream or vision? That you had done like Moses. You forgot the feeling of your people. You forgot the call that I called you to. God was correcting his prophet mouth to mouth. And in this correction, he even told him that your ministry was greater. Oh my. I thank God for that. And I'm not following it just to follow it. I'm following because it was in the Word.
Amen.
I'm going to give you my last quote for tonight. I just love this. I mean, we don't have to worry about anybody trying to correct the prophet. You can take them right back to the scripture, Numbers 12. Say, no. What you're trying to tell me is that you are greater than the angel of the Lord when you're trying to correct the prophet. Because what the angel of the Lord, what God said in his word, that when he wants to correct his servant, he'll speak to him mouth to mouth. That's what he'll do. Amen. The voice of the sign. God dealt with this one man. God never deals with groups. Yeah. It's with one man. Elijah wasn't a group. John wasn't a group. They wasn't a group or denomination. Neither one of them, but both of them condemned such. That's right. John said, don't you think to say we have Abraham to our father. God has enabled these stones to rise children to Abraham. And the end time sign will have an end time voice. And the end time sign will be according to what is predicted in the Bible. And the end time voice that follows the end time sign will be exactly identified in the scripture, will be the scripture that's been promised. Now, we've read in Luke 17 what the end time sign would be. Sodom and Gomorrah conditions in the earth. The days of Noah would be in the earth. That's what Luke 17 tells us. And there's no one that can tell me we're not seeing that right now. It's all over. If we see the end time signs and end time conditions, then there's something else that's promised. Look at this. It says, now we've read in Luke 17 what the end time sign would be like. It was at Sodom, a promise. And we have Sodom in the natural. Why can't we believe the sign in spiritual here? If you can see the scriptures also, Luke 17 is the sign and Malachi 4 is the voice. Luke 17 is the sign and Malachi 4 is the voice. The sign was like God manifested in flesh, knowing the secrets of the heart. And the voice of Malachi 4 was turning the people away from their creeds back to the faith of the fathers. That's the sign. You know what? I'm closing now. Signs are usually accepted, sure. But the voice? Oh, no. The voice that follows the sign, they don't want nothing to do with that. Yes, Jesus' sign as Messiah to heal the sick, they accepted that. But one day he said, I and the Father are one. Oh, my, that voice wasn't accepted. They said, you make yourself God equal with God. And you know that that's exactly what's happening today. Oh, my, you cannot. He was the greatest man. I mean, miracles. I had never seen any miracles like that in my life. But what about the voice that followed the sign? Oh, my, the voice wasn't accepted. They said, you make yourself God, equal with God. He said, I'm the Son of God. Oh, my, how could God have a son? See, far be it from God having a son. But you see, they believed the sign, the sick could be healed. And, oh, that was wonderful. That was just dandy. But when it come to the voice, they didn't believe. They didn't want to believe the voice. What they do, they put them out. And you know what? The Bible tells us in Revelation, the third chapter, at this Laodicean church age, that he would be done the same thing. He was on the outside of the church. That's the Word made manifest. He was the Word made manifest. He still is the Word made manifest. If you can believe the sign of Sodom of Luke, if you can believe that, then why not accept the voice of Malachi 4? See, why not you? It can be vindicated. Only way it can be done, the sign can be proven, but you have to accept the voice. Moses was commissioned to go down in the natural and get a spiritual sign and call the people back to the promise of the fathers. Malachi 4 is to return the people back to the faith of the fathers. Oh, return, O blind, and disperse to your own. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If we're going to believe the sign of this day and everything that happened according to Luke 17, then we must accept the voice of the sign, which came through Malachi 4, Revelation 10. And there's only one person that can fulfill that. And I always have this question for those that say Brother Branham didn't fulfill it. Scripture's pretty plain that we have to have an Elijah. It's pretty plain. I'm reading it. You're reading it. It's pretty plain. If you're saying Brother Branham is not that Elijah, I must know who is. You have to tell me who is Elijah, especially if you're saying you're reading your Bible, you're going back to the Word. Well, that's in the Word. So tell me, who is Elijah? Who is this seventh angel? We must know, because we see the signs of the end all around us. And if you don't have an answer, stay with the one that God sent.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to correct a prophet? That's not your job.
Amen.
God corrects his own prophet. And you know how he does it? Mouth to mouth. God richly bless you. I have enjoyed my time with you this weekend. The Lord bless you richly. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight that settles our hearts. And God, as the song that was sang before we even started, Lord, the message, you're God alone. And Father, there towards the end of that song, you said that you're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's who you are. But as you just kind of revealed to me, Lord, that's not only who you are, because you dwell inside of us, that's also who we are. We're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's why we sit here tonight feeding on the Word of God. I know, Lord, many, many, many have been impacted by, Lord, all the stuff that has happened in this day. But Lord, we claim each one, that spirit of deception, Lord, would free people. God, that would loose them and God allow them to their sight to be recovered is our prayer. We know that it's not too hard for you, God.
So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just continue to, amen, reveal yourself to us, that we would just hold faithfully to every promise that you've made. We see you revealed and manifested through your word. So God, we ask that you would continue to get glory and honor out of us. And Lord, I pray for this lighthouse here, this church, Church of the Open Door, that you would continue to allow them, Lord, to have an impact in this area. There's many that are hurting, many that are wandering, many, Lord, that are unsure and uncertain. God, just so much has happened to them. But God, I pray that as they come here, that they can hear the word of God preach by the ministers here, the pastor and the other ministers. They would hear the word preached with such balance and such clarity that it would bring healing to their hurting hearts. God, we ask that you would just continue to do a mighty work. We thank you for what you have already done, but God, we know that there's more that you want to do. So may your spirit, Lord, dwell in this place. May your spirit dwell on your people and in your people. And may you, God, get all the glory and all the honor out of all that happens here. We give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. God richly bless you, church. Amen. We thoroughly enjoyed being here on behalf of myself, my brother, and Brother Stephen. We enjoyed ourselves this weekend, and we look forward to coming back for more fellowship. And not only coming back, we look forward to y'all coming down to see us in West Palm Beach. God bless you.
Love the Lord tonight. Amen. God's good. As Brother Jack was preaching, I wrote down a couple songs that I was thinking of, and this is the first one I wrote down. So the Lord works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? Amen. God's good. We appreciate the word of the Lord this week. Amen. What a blessed people we are. I'm thankful I didn't just enjoy the signs, but that I believe the voice that was behind the sign. I'm thankful God sent a prophet our way to open our eyes. I'm thankful that I have a promise that I'm blessed. Just if I can hear it and read it, that I'm blessed. That's what Revelation chapter 1 said. Blessed is he that reads. Blessed is he that hears. I'm glad I was able to have eyes to read it and ears to hear it, but I'm glad it didn't just stop there. I'm glad it went down a little deeper on the inside. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Child, you weren't born for this valley. No, you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle. Maybe you're facing all kinds of things in your life, but why don't you just let the Holy Spirit lift you up tonight? Spread your wings, little eagle.
Journey, Lord. See, we weren't born for these valleys. Oh, we were born for
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for each one that's gathered here tonight, those that wanted to be. Lord, the prayer request that I hold in my hand, Father, Lord, may you just be with each one that we've prayed for throughout the day. Lord, may you just move on the scene for each situation. Lord, for the unspoken requests that were made known by the uplifting of hands, Father, may you just come on the scene for each situation. Give each person the desire of their heart, Lord, as it would be in accordance with your will. Father, we just ask you to be with each one as we go our separate ways. Protect us throughout the week. Give us the strength that we need for the journey. Lord, be with Brother Jack, Brother Stephen, Brother Troy as they travel home, the different ones as we go our separate ways. Protect us. Keep us in your grace. Lord, may we take this sweet presence that we felt here, Lord, with us wherever we would go, Father. Give us strength. Lord, may you just stir our hearts. Lord, help us to make ourselves ready. Lord, as we begin to see different things taking place in politics, in the news, and everywhere we look, Father, we see signs of the times. Lord, I just ask you to stir our hearts again, Lord. Help us to make preparations. Lord, may you just speak to hearts tonight, Father. If there's anything that would hinder us, Father, help us to make it right, Father. Draw us closer to you, we pray. Be with us, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Oh, people wonder why we're so happy. I'm going to tell you tonight. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I have a reason to be. Oh, I've accepted.